Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Yes, we are. And you're thinking, how are you doing that, pal? I mean, you're on the radio right now. You have no idea what's going on in my world. And you're kind of right. I do not know exactly what is going on in your world. See, I'm not walking a mile in your shoes. I have no idea what you're doing right at this very minute, because radio is an audio medium. Yeah, I can't see anything, which is probably good for you that you can't see me, because you probably think you're watching one of Boris Karloff's old movies. You would scream and run out of the house. I'm just joking. That's just bad humor on my part. But let's talk about your situation. Let's talk about what's going on in your world. You see, everything that happens in your life is usually based off of decisions that you made. Yeah, you made a decision, and that decision got you to where you're at. Now, sometimes it's not just one major decision. Sometimes it's a lot of minor decisions that add up that get you to where you're going. Now, I will tell you this. If you're concerned about retirement, if you think you may not get the prize at the end of all of your hard efforts of trying to save money, maybe you're not even in a position right now where you can save money. Maybe the cost of living has just like come out of nowhere and grabbed you on the back of the neck like a leopard springing from a tree as you're walking through the jungle naked. Oh, yeah, I've been watching that Naked and Afraid show. That's a weird show, man. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about you. I've been there. Dude, I'm here to tell you I've been there. I've done that. I've tried all kinds of different things throughout my lifetime to get myself out of the rat race. I've read a lot of books. I bought different courses that were out there. But it wasn't until I stumbled across Lifestyles Unlimited that I didn't get a really solid grip on my future. Now, I'm not saying books are bad. I think books are very good. I think books are full of good knowledge, but not all books are great. Some books are good. Some books are great. Some books are terrible. And here's the issue. What people put in books are based on their own observations, experiences, and analysis. And what works for some people may not work for others. What do you mean, Al? What are you talking about? All right. Hey, let's talk about weight loss. Let's talk about weight loss. Because I actually am friends with another couple, and they're married. They've been married for longer than I have. They've got a couple of great kids, and these are people that I've met, and I turned them on to Lifestyles Unlimited. I did, because I wanted them to see that they had a better opportunity to get to the end stated goal that they were trying to get to if they were a part of the Lifestyles Unlimited community than doing what they were doing on their own. But here's the thing about weight loss. So both of them, I'm not going to tell you their names because I do not want to embarrass anybody on the air. That's not my purpose here. They both went on a diet, and they followed the same diet. They ate the same foods. They did the same amount of exercise. They did everything exactly the same. He has lost, I think, about 14 pounds. Maybe it's 15. Let's call it 15. He's lost 15 pounds over the last, I think, 6 weeks that they've been on this diet. She has not been able to lose any weight. Now, she has not gained any weight. So I think right there, that's a little bit of a victory. But she's concerned that, you know, she's done all of these things that she read about in a book. She put all of those things into motion, and she didn't get the results she was looking for. Now, I could tell you there's a myriad of reasons why. And like I told her, I said, you know, don't get down on yourself, because we're biological beings, and in your biology, although very similar to mine, is a little bit different. Your chemistry is maybe a little different than mine. Your body metabolizes at a different rate than mine does. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. What she needs to do is she needs to surround herself with people that understand her unique situation. Yeah, she needs more than a book and her husband holding her hand through this process. She needs people that understand her current situation, who understand why her body is not dropping pounds, even though the book that she read said she was supposed to. Okay, that's when you bring in people that are a little bit more experienced. Maybe you bring in a nutritionist. Maybe you bring in a doctor. Maybe you bring in somebody that can help her with physical fitness. She needs a different approach. What's working for him is not working for her. And if she keeps working on that same plan, she's just going to continue to get frustrated. So why am I saying all of that? Well, I think it's the same with real estate investing. I do. I think you can go out there and get all kinds of information, get all kinds of thoughts going in your head about how this real estate investing works. And you can read some books, you can buy some courses, and you know, you can kind of get yourself ramped up. But until you become a member of an organization like Lifestyles Unlimited, and you go through the educational process, you get yourself a mentor, and then you surround yourself with successful, like-minded individuals, you have created surroundings that can't help you but flourish. When we come back from the break, I'll get into it. Stick around.
The other thing I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate, and that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments too. We'll show you how. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
I don't know which one bums you out more, the little wheel, you get in the little wheel and run, or the cubicle. Go to your prison cubicle. Think about being in prison every day. What do? You get up every day and stand in your cubicle. Maybe sit in your cubicle. What do you do when you go to work every day? Go to the cubicle. Phew. I couldn't put up with it when I was there. I had to get out.
Ready to get out too? Learn how at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, let's get into this. You need to make a decision. You have to decide whether or not you're going to keep going down the path that you're on, trying different things, seeing what kind of result that you get. If you get a winner, you keep doing it, right? If you get a loser, you stop that and you go back to square one. You work your way through the scenario. Most people that think they want to learn how to invest in real estate go down that vicious cycle. They do. Yeah, maybe somebody handed you a book like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Now, that book was written by Robert Kiyosaki. I think it's a great book. I really do. I think what Mr. Kiyosaki does is he causes you to start thinking differently. That's correct. He is forcing you to step outside of your comfort zone and think about things in a completely different light. See, I hate to break it to you, but you're probably a product of society like I was. Yeah, I was a product of society. What do you mean, Al? What are you talking about? Okay, let's break it down for you. As a little kid, my parents put me into preschool. Yeah, because back in the 60s, yeah, I'm that old. Back in the 60s, society was changing. Women wanted a bigger piece of the action when it came to life in America. Yeah, there were people wanting women's rights, and you're thinking, well, that stuff didn't happen until the 70s. And I'm here to tell you, well, that stuff was happening in the 60s, too. It just didn't make massive notoriety until the 70s when the women decided to burn their bras and stuff like that. But it was going on in the 60s. And one of the things that my parents figured out at a very early age, after having their firstborn child, maybe around, I don't know, 1968, was that they couldn't afford to live off my dad's income. They couldn't. They you know, all of a sudden, and now they were doing okay. Husband and wife, two people, adults, able to make their own decisions. Yeah. But they found out when they brought me into the world that apparently I cost money. Yeah, there's costs associated with having kids. They're not free. No, kids are not free. You know that. And they get more expensive the older they get. So I show up in 1964, make my parents happy. At least that's my version of the truth. And by 1968, at the ripe old age of four, I'm in preschool. Now, why do you think I was in preschool? I was in preschool because back then, it made more of an economic sense for my mother to go to work and earn money to bring into the household, because they couldn't get by on just my dad's income anymore now that I was there. And let me tell you what happened that very moment in time. My parents made an informed decision based on the need for money to hand me off to somebody else and let that person raise me. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? That sounds awful. But that goes on day in and day out in society. See, society has programmed you. They have programmed you to be a good cog in the machine. Yes, society wants you to be a very good citizen and to be a contributing citizen. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that is excellent. I really do. I think that's excellent. But the problem that exists is that in our society, we kind of lose sight of what's important. See, at the age of four, my parents handed me off to a preschool teacher. Now, as far as I know, they did a good job selecting this lady. And I was going through some stuff because we're getting ready to move. And I actually came across a book that she gave me. With little handwritten thing, Dear Albert. Okay, it's my full name, Albert. You know, and it made me reflect back. But from the ages of four to five, while I was in preschool, that woman raised me. Because my mom wasn't around. My mom was at work. My mom would take me to this lady and hand me off in the morning. She'd go about her merry way, being at work all day. I would stay at preschool all day. You know, socializing with other kids. Some other kids were okay. Some other kids I didn't care for. I'm guessing it's the same for you. And then when it came time for me to promote into kindergarten, guess what happened? That's correct. I was handed off to the kindergarten teacher. And after that happened, I was handed off to first grade and then second grade. Yeah. That's exactly what happens. You see, in our society, somewhere between before I was born and not too long after I was born, there was a radical change going on in this country. Women wanted to get in the workforce. They did not want to be held back. They did not want to be forced into a role of being a homemaker or a full-time mom or any of those things. I mean, they wanted to go out in the world and they wanted to make their mark. And unfortunately, as society financially was shifting and the costs of goods and services started to increase, because, yeah, back then they had a little thing called inflation going on, too. You can do your history lesson and you can read all about that stuff. And as people started realizing that, hey, if both of us are working, we bring in more money, and that gives us more money to buy stuff that's not getting us to retirement. But we've got stuff. So here's what happened to me. And I'm not picking on my mom and dad. I think they were a victim of their circumstances. I really do. My entire life, I grew up with absentee parents, for the most part. I mean, they were there in the evenings when they came home from work. They were there in the mornings before they left for work. Yeah, they were there on the weekends. But what was I doing on the weekends? I was going out with my friends. I was kind of on my own. Yeah, I was one of those kids. I don't know, they call them latchkey? I don't know. But I was one of those kids that got raised by other people who had a mom and dad who were interested in bringing in money and were doing a terrible job of keeping their marriage together. And I was a victim. I was a victim. But I don't have a victim's mentality. So why am I telling you all this? Okay, well, I'm out of time. I have to tell you after the break.
Del Wamsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, did you ever watch Laverne and Shirley? That was a spinoff series. It was a sitcom back in the 70s. It was a spinoff from Happy Days. So Laverne and Shirley, I mean, they were kind of household names. Heck, by saying their names, I probably made you go, oh, yeah, I used to watch that show. Well, remember Lenny and Squiggy? You know, Squiggy was the guy with the, I don't know, he just had the weirdest but neatest hair, and he was the shorter of the two. And then Lenny was the taller guy. Okay. At one point in the series, Lenny and Squiggy, they had a falling out. And Lenny was trying to figure out what path to go by. Because, I mean, here was this dude that he had hung with all his life. And these guys did, like, everything together. And now, all of a sudden, Lenny is on his own. And Laverne takes pity on him. See, Laverne used to have these big L's on her sweater. Remember those? Okay, so she took one of those L's and she put it on Lenny's jacket and gave him the title The Lone Wolf. And with that title, Lenny proceeded through life. I was like Lenny. Yeah, I was like Lenny. Yeah, I was one of those guys that was meandering through my childhood. Yeah, I was meandering through my childhood. Now, I think my parents loved me, but I don't think they knew how to love. I really don't. And to complicate that, they had made a decision early in their working careers to work, to go get jobs, to do those jobs to bring money into the household so that they could pay the rent, they could maybe afford a used car, they could bring food into the house, maybe buy me some clothes, like, you know, because I was a kid and I was growing and, you know, kids tend to outgrow their clothes. The other problem that both of my parents had was they self-medicated. Yeah, they self-medicated. Now, their drug of choice wasn't cocaine or heroin or any of that stuff. No, it was something that's absolutely legal in this country. It's called alcohol. Yeah, my parents were, as it turns out, pretty heavy drinkers before I was born. So I'm sharing this with you, not because I want you to feel sorry for me, but I want you to understand what it's like maybe to walk a couple steps in my shoes. I was taught that the path to health, love, peace, joy, and happiness was to work my butt off. Work my butt off. That's what my parents did. I mean, they went to work. My dad was working literally 7 days a week. My mom would work Monday through Friday, but then she would, on the weekends, you know, when she was kind of sober in the morning, she was okay, but by lunchtime, she was already three sheets to the wind, and that was it. That was the weekends. I was pretty much on my own. Oh, there was somebody else in my life. Yeah, I have a brother. About 7 years into my life, my parents created my brother. So two people that had all kinds of issues, all kinds of bad habits, probably the best way to describe it, because they were both alcoholics. I'll just tell you the way it is. They're both passed away. I'm hoping up in heaven. And even with the financial realities what they were, they still brought another person into this world. I don't know. I think sometimes people do that because they think, okay, well, this will bring us closer together as a couple. And I think all it did was tear the family apart. Now, I'm not picking on my brother. I love my brother. I love my brother. My brother went through kind of an iffy, okay-ish childhood. I mean, I kind of turned out okay. Trust me, I had lots of opportunities to go down that dark path. But my brother, I think he had it even worse than I did. Yeah, because at the end of the day, my parents ultimately separated. My mom threw my dad out. When she threw him out, she threw me out. And then, of course, now we've got one household that barely can make it financially, and now we've got to have two households. Yeah, you see this where this is going. So, yeah, it got bad. It got bad. Well, by the time I was in high school, I was pretty much on cruise control. I was just going with the flow. You know, who was giving me my mentorship? Who was giving me information that I needed to make my life better? Well, there were two sources: my parents and society. And the majority of society's influence on me came in the form of public education. Yes, I went to public school. I am a product of a public education system. system, at least through high school. When it came time to go into college, I already knew in my mind how this has got to play, because society informed me that in order to be successful, I had to get to college. The problem I had was I couldn't afford college. I couldn't afford college. Heck, I couldn't even afford to go to my local college, which was the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, on in-state tuition, because I had no money to pay for school. Well, I applied for a bunch of scholarships. I mean, I figured I was all that in a bag of chips. I had pretty decent grades. I was a well-rounded person. I was the captain of the swim team. I played in the jazz band. I was on the debate team. I did other stuff. You know, I kind of built up this little resume of who I was. And I went out there and I competed for scholarships because I knew, because all my friends, I had surrounded myself with some pretty smart dudes. Trust me, these guys, I was like the charity case. These guys like helped me get through high school. They did. And these guys went on to get major engineering degrees from major colleges. And you know what? They wound up in the same boat that I wound up in. Same boat. Realizing that you had to work really, really hard to get through college. You had to get that job, and then you had to work really hard in that job, and your whole life needs to be 40 to 45 years trading time for money to buy stuff that's not getting you anywhere near retirement. Let me tell you one other thing that happened to me. I finally landed a scholarship that would get me to college. As a matter of fact, this scholarship would pay for all of my tuition for 4 years at any college or university that I could gain entrance into. Oh, there was one condition. They had to have a ROTC detachment. Good thing for me, all the colleges I was looking for, well, they had those things. I signed a paper when I first started college accepting a 4-year Army ROTC scholarship. And that scholarship paid my tuition. And really, it kind of fast-tracked me, because I knew on the back end something that all of my peers, other than the other guys that had scholarships with ROTC, knew. I had a job waiting for me on the backside. That's the terms and conditions of taking an ROTC scholarship. You're going to go serve in the military. As a matter of fact, concurrent with your academic studies, you're going to train to be an Army officer. And I'll tell you what, I did all that. And I was pretty good at it. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you the result. I'm going to tell you something you probably don't want to hear. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited invites you to the world's largest wealth and passive income expo, September 3rd and 4th, Irving, Texas. You'll connect with successful investors and industry experts. Learn being real estate retired at any age. Attend breakout sessions with industry experts. Learn from real people successfully investing in real estate right now. Leave with your passive income plan in hand. The entire Lifestyles Unlimited team of realtors, mentors, educators, and operational consultants want to meet you Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th in the Metroplex Irving Convention Center at Las Colinas. Join thousands of top investors and multimillionaire real estate investor Dell Wamsley. Dell is mentor to top award-winning investors across the country. Go to WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Enter promo code FREEDOM and receive $97 off any pass or package. That's WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Promo code FREEDOM. WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so I'm gonna fill you in on something that maybe you're not aware of. Back in the day when I accepted a 4-year Army ROTC scholarship, that scholarship was actually balanced into two elements. I know, it sounds really weird, right? Okay, so you could do Army ROTC on a 4-year scholarship, and you could do the first 2 years have the Army pay for your freshman and your sophomore years. And then when it comes time to moving into the junior years, you have to qualify your scholarship contract. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, that means at the junior level of college, that's when ROTC training, I mean, they really turn up the heat. They turn up the burners because they're preparing you for an event that you're going to go to 6 weeks. For me, it was at Fort Lewis, Washington, in the land of mosquitoes, where you're going to do follow-on training with the Army, and they're going to put you through your paces. You come back from that training as a senior, and now your responsibility to your Corps of Cadets is you're part of the Cadet Officer Corps, because now the Army is preparing you to transition out of college and into the United States Army. Yeah, that's kind of how it all works. So To and Screw was something that was actually written into the contract that said, if you got to your junior year and you decided you didn't want the Army to pay for school, you could get out of your contract. Now, people that had three-year scholarships, usually that started in the sophomore, they had one in Screw because they get that free year. And I remember a couple of my friends made a decision to leave the ROTC program at the two-year mark. For whatever reason, their educational desires changed. Maybe they wanted to change their majors. The Army was not interested in those particular majors, like a good buddy of mine. He was in the business school with me, but he really wanted to be a filmmaker. So he decided he was going to change his major. He wanted to be a filmmaker. The Army said, yeah, we don't need filmmakers. And he said, okay, I'm out. So he left. And I lost about a half a dozen friends that all did the same thing. Now, me, I flirted with the idea of Two and Screw because I wasn't 100% convinced that maybe the Army was a good career choice for me. I had no idea. I mean, I was a sophomore in college, but I was floating that idea. But here's the problem that I had. Society had taught me that in order to be successful, I had to get a degree. I had to have a college degree to go be competitive. Now, I could walk away from the Army, but how do I pay for college? How do I pay? I think tuition was back in the day, I don't know, it was $10,000, $15,000 a year back in the early 80s. Yeah, which is probably like, I don't know, $40,000 or $50,000 a year in today's money. So here you have a kid who, if he's lucky, might be able to get a job paying him $5.25 an hour, trying to figure out how he's going to afford 2 years of scholarship if he, or college, if he walks away from a full scholarship. Now, I was already taking out student loans to pay for housing. Yeah, because I wasn't living at home. Where I went to school, University of Southern California, 5 hours away from where I lived in Las Vegas. And by the way, Las Vegas didn't offer me a whole lot because of my family situation. By that point, I was pretty much a lone wolf. And I wrestled with that idea. I wrestled with that. And I couldn't figure out how to stay in that college, afford college, and not be bankrupt coming out of college if I didn't keep that degree program going and I didn't keep that scholarship going. And I'm one of those guys that hemmed and hawed right to the last minute. I mean, I went in for my junior year, and they're like, okay, Al, we need you to sign the paperwork. And I'm like, I don't know. And I remember my lieutenant colonel coming over and sitting down with me and having a heart-to-heart. And I just kind of told him. I just kind of laid it out. And he said, okay, first time in my life, somebody actually said something to me that was relevant to my future. So that professor of military science sat me down, and he said, look, I understand what you're going through. I'm not here to strong arm you. That's not my purpose. I think you have talent. I think you have potential. I think based on my 20 plus years in the military, I think you, Al, have great potential to serve in the Army. As a matter of fact, we need guys like you in the Army leading the great people that serve in the Army. Now, you might be thinking, okay, this guy's a good recruiter. This guy's a good recruiter, right? Okay. Then the hammer came down. He said, you've got to make a decision right now whether or not you're going to stay in school or not. Because I know your background. I know your financial situation. I know you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that scholarship. I also know that based on how financial aid goes at this particular college, you're probably going to walk out of here with a bunch of student loan debt if you stay on your own. And he was right. He was absolutely right. See, finally, somebody sat me down and said, look, consider the situation and beware of making a bad decision. Well, ultimately, I stayed there in college. And I went through my junior year. And I'll tell you that the ROTC training became pretty intense. Here's what I figured out in the fall semester of my junior year. We were out on what we called a field training exercise. I think we were down in Camp Pendleton, which is down in Southern California. The Marines own the territory. It's probably some of the most beautiful beachfront property that the United States government owns. And I will tell you this, the Marines do an excellent job of maintaining that terrain, and they train on it. And we would go down there as ROTC guys because it was actually the closest maneuver space. And we would do weekend field training exercises to get ready for our six-week event that we would do in the summer. And I remember laying, I don't know, we were in a fire support position. It was the middle of the night. We're on security detail and stuff. Trust me, I mean, the stuff we do, it's pretty intense. And I was in my foxhole with my buddy, and I was kind of complaining. I just remember complaining because we were gone for a week, and I had a major exam on Monday, and I'm like, dude, I wish I was kind of studying instead of like laying out here with you. No offense. And you know what he told me? He said, why are you studying so hard? And I go, well, what do you mean? And he goes, you've already got a job. And I went, oh, I never thought of it that way. See, I never thought of the fact that I already was in possession of the prize that society told me I had to go get to be successful. And what I finally realized at the moment was I didn't need to kill myself in college, because whether I had a 4.0 or a 2.0, which, by the way, was the minimum grade point average I could have in order to commission as a second lieutenant, I was still going to commission. At that point in my life, I think that's the first time I bucked society's rules. Now, I will tell you, over my 27 years in the Army, I did a lot of bucking. Yeah, I did a lot of bucking. Bucking against society, bucking against norms. My wife and I made an informed decision to raise our kids, for her to sacrifice income so that my kids would have the parents that she and I never really had. We decided to go against society. And when I found Lifestyles Unlimited, I realized that this was an entire organization that was dedicated to not doing what society tells us to do. That the organization is filled with people that are changing their lives on a daily basis. People that are stepping away from the lies of society that, by the way, probably will not get you retired, and working on the things that will get you retired in the next 5 years. I am here to tell you that is a huge game changer. That right there is powerful enough to completely change your life. You think I'm making it up? I'm not. When I became a member, I did what Del Walmsley told me to do. 2 years later, I found myself in a state of retirement, in a position where I could walk away from a job and be just fine. 4 years later, I'm flourishing. This is awesome. I'm working on the lifestyle. I can't wait for the next 2 years. And I want you on my side. Go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com to find out what we do. Join up, and I'll see you in Expo in September.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.